Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning. And we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, good morning. How are you?
Heard you guys had the general, John McClain, on today.
We did.
Fellow Houstonian. Good to have all the Houston superpowers on in one day.
A lot of Houston talk. A lot of Houston high-level NFL people on the program here today.
I heard Joe's rant, Caitlin Clark rant. Like that. It was enjoyable.
He was very, very fired up. Still is.
I mean, I could go on and on with some of these comments I'm getting from these idiots, but I guess we should probably switch topics.
You know what? I will say this. I Dawn has never watched a second of the NBA in her entire life. Like, she knows nothing about the league. And yet yesterday at one point, we're like sitting there, and she says to me out of nowhere, she's like, "Hey, did you see that fight in the WNBA with Caitlin Clark?" And I'm like, "Oh my God, they've made it." Like, this is it.
This is it.
They crossed it.
Dawn.
They finally made it. Like,
Dawn's
like,
on
out
board.
Of nowhere. Nowhere some, a person who never watches the WNBA is asking me about this.
That's pretty awesome.
This fight. Yeah, it was pretty great. I mean, look, man, we grew up in the era of Jordan, but like, I think people forget that the Bulls went out and got Charles Oakley to protect him. Like, they're like, "All right, we need some big bank, you know, muscle, and we need to protect Charles. We need to protect Michael Jordan." And that's what I think that's what the Fever need. They need to, whether it's Sophie Cunningham or whoever. But
she finally did get her shot in at the end.
But I agree that
initial shot, someone needs to then push her right away, right? I mean, they're
right. Yeah.
Yeah. No, we talked about this last year. Like, someone's on the Fever needs to also come to her defense.
Yeah. They need to force her. Yeah, absolutely. They need somebody that's out there to protect. I mean, Gretzky had it, you know. I think every, you know, all the GOATs at some point had somebody to step in and, you know, stand on business. And yeah, I was down for it. I'm like, all right. I'm like, I like this. Like, I love this storyline. I love the villains and the whole Magic and Bird sort of setup that they got going on with her and Angel Reese. And I think it's good for the league. I really do. She's the one I'll never forget. Like, I don't watch women's basketball, but I still remember her second to last tournament. I was flipping through channels, and it was during the women's tournament, and I literally stopped for like 5 seconds, and she hit like a logo three. And I'm like, "Who is this playing for Iowa?" And then I sat and watched the rest of the game. And I remember I was texting with Michael Smith. I'm like, "Hey, man, you need to turn this on, because there's this girl playing for Iowa who is like doing some Steph Curry stuff." And from then on, I was like, anytime she was on, I was watching. So, yeah, I mean, she's a lot of fun to watch. But, yeah, I don't think you lay off her. I think you go at her and, you know, be a competitive league, be real.
Yeah,
and
be a pro athlete.
Yeah, and let the team clean it up, you know, let the organization clean it up. Find somebody to protect her the way that, you know, Jordan got protected by a teammate and Gretzky got protected by teammates. And, you know, that's just how it works. But, yeah, I love the origin story of, you know, how this all kind of began and where it's going. So
Charles, the Buss family out in Los Angeles has sold the majority of the ownership of the Lakers to Mark Walter. And the valuation there is right around $10 billion. So that is obviously a massive amount of money. It's the highest ever for a U.S. professional sports franchise. So what do you make of that, and how could that affect the NFL and some potential future sales that way?
It's a huge win for the NFL. I mean, like, that's the first thing I thought. And like, if you go back, I think it was August the 24th, every August Forbes comes out with their, you know, their valuations of sports franchises. And I think the Lakers were just over $7 billion last August. So if they're, you know, if you extrapolate it, you know, you go from 7 to 10 in a year, you know, and we've seen, obviously, you know, the Mavericks, you know, other franchises sell, you kind of know where that league's going. That absolutely influences what I think, you know, the valuation of NFL franchises. And I think, you know, if you look at the Cowboys, I think last August were valued at $10.1 billion, I want to say, off the top of my head. Yeah, they're going to be like 14 in August. They're going to be like a $14 billion franchise come August. Like, if you're Jerry Jones, you're sitting there going, I don't even have to do anything. all I got to do is, you know, keep building the infrastructure out and you know, my organization. I don't have to win Super Bowls. Like, year after year, I'm picking up billions and billions of dollars in value just because of where sports franchises are going. And it's no longer the NFL lifting anybody, everybody, which is what it was. I mean, the NFL was sort of, you know, tugging and pulling everybody along behind it. But now with where the NBA is going, I think, you know, largely due to because the new rights, TV rights contract has really pushed values higher for NBA teams. But yeah, that was a huge win for the NFL. That was the first thing I thought was, man, every NFL franchise has got to be psyched right now, because even the low end of the scale, you probably just picked up $1 billion on what, you know, your franchise is ultimately worth. So, yeah, massive. I was stunned when I saw that number. I'm like, oh my God, there's so few cornerstone franchises that ever come available for sale. And, you know, after seeing what the Celtics went for, and I give it to Magic too, because I think when the Celtics sold, Magic was like, you know, the Lakers are probably a $10 billion team. And I thought at that time, like, he's crazy. Like, that's nuts to even think that, you know, an NBA team that, you know, I think at this stage, like, you look at the Cowboys, the thing that's crazy about it, if you've ever been to their Frisco facility, it's nuts. It's completely insane what Jerry built in terms of the practice facility, the entire, like, retail space around it, the indoor high school, like, the practice facility that seats, like, thousands and thousands of people and hosts these high school playoff games. And it's like nothing I've ever seen before. And you can see how Jerry Jones has sat there and said, okay, well, you know, how can I continue to amp up the financial cost of what this franchise is really worth. He's kind of built like an empire in Frisco, Texas. Like, you know, real estate values up there, like, through the roof. I'll say this for Jerry Jones, man, whatever he can't do on the field, he has completely figured out everything off the field. And when he goes, I mean, he'll be somebody that will have affected the financial bottom lines of the NFL for, you know, decades to come.
So, Charles, in the NBA, NFL, continuing, we got a lot of basketball adjacent stuff today. Desmond, and obviously, you know, different deal, but you had an interesting idea for a piece. Desmond Bain traded for four first rounders, Orlando. I love that, by the way, for Orlando. I know some people think that that's not a good, I think it's actually a really good move for them. I think people don't realize how good Bane is. But anyway, four first-round picks. You asked execs and coaches about, in the NFL, any players that might be worth four first-round picks, which in the NFL sounds incredibly lofty.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was interesting, too, because it was I kind of was – when the trade went down, in my mind, I was thinking, like, you know, well, it's interesting, like, would an NFL team ever trade four firsts for a guy, because we've seen Trey Lance, RG3, you know, those were, I think it was three first rounders to really move up and get those guys in the draft. Obviously Deshaun Watson, three first rounders plus from the Cleveland Browns. And so I, you know, I just sent out like a wave of text, and it was, you could tell that the Bane deal really sort of resonated in the NFL, because I was stunned how fast. I mean, it only took 2 days and I had 15 guys get back to me. And that doesn't usually happen. I mean, something really has to be on the minds of a lot of people for that many guys to respond in a 2 day period. But yeah, a lot of guys wanted to talk about it. It was interesting though, because I thought, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, four first round picks, you know, everybody's going to say Mahomes. So out of the 15 guys, six said no player. And I was stunned. I'm stunned that six people, and I mean, it's you know, we're talking high level, whether personnel or coaching staff, you know, for six people to come back and go, there's not a player worth four consecutive first round picks, and just kind of listen to the sort of the, I guess, the theories that they had behind it, just that, you know, obviously it's not apples to apples with first round picks between the NBA and the NFL, but, you know, a lot of guys had thought this through, just sort of what the value of NBA picks are versus NFL picks, how NFL picks are used versus NBA picks. Like, it was interesting. Like, one executive made the point where he's like, you know, you can take 4 first round picks. He's like, you can turn those into like 16 to 20 picks over a 3-year period if you're very smart and aggressive about moving back, depending on where those first round picks fall for you. He's like, that doesn't happen in the NBA. And he said, beyond that, he said, even if it did, there's no value really in the second round of the NBA. Like, everybody in the NFL has this thought process where they look at the NBA and they're like, it's useless after the first 15 picks. Like, after that, maybe you get a rotational guy. Every once in a while, you'll catch a star, or like a Jokic in the second round, a superstar who you don't see coming. But for the most part, after the first 15 picks, you're just trying to get somebody that can be, you know, especially in that first round. Yeah, a rotational player, like maybe a starter. But almost everybody in the NFL, and it was interesting because the argument across, you know, the NFL platform was, like, there were some guys who were like, yeah, the NBA second round is like, you know, 4th, 5th round in our league. I mean, there were other guys who were like, give me a break. It's like the 7th round in our league. Like, you're just hoping to get somebody you can develop. You know, you're praying and get somebody to develop between 31 and, you know, 60 in terms of those picks. But it was interesting. Like, it was the customers, you would think. I mean, it was like eight said Mahomes. You know, surprisingly, Lamar Jackson, I think, only got 3 votes. Burrow, I think, got 3 votes. Jaden Daniels got 2 votes. It was all the quarterbacks. No non-quarterback position got any votes in terms of giving up picks. And then somebody actually made it was a fun little – I included it in the story, even though it wasn't something that I had, you know, specifically asked. But someone was like, you know, you're thinking about it wrong. What about, like, I would give up 4 first-round picks for, like, Howie Roseman. He's like, what about just people in the NFL? Like, what about Andy Reid? Like, how many – first-round picks would you give up for Andy Reid? How many first-round picks would you give up for Kevin O'Connell? Which I thought was really interesting in terms of, you know, just thinking about, like, what to Howie Roseman really be worth if the Eagles were like, hey, you know what, yeah, we'll trade Howie Roseman for picks. How many picks would you give up for him? I thought that was kind of a fun sort of thought experiment to go through. So
4 for Andy Reid, but not – I mean, I'd give up 4 for Patrick Mahomes. I'd give up 4 for Andy Reid with Patrick Mahomes.
See, that was the thing. The people who didn't vote for Mahomes, the 6, I mean, a very often, like, people were basically like, look, you're not getting Reed with him. It's always dangerous to go and get a guy. And, you know, some people are like, hey, look, okay, if it's 25-year-old Patrick Mahomes versus 30-year-old Patrick Mahomes, plus you're getting, you know, he's due a contract adjustment, which everybody thinks is going to be like $65 million a season, unless Mahomes is like, I don't need that, you know, unless Mahomes does what he did before, which, you know, and taking the 10-year extension that he did is the Tom Brady route and saying, I don't need to be the highest paid player in the NFL. But it's just a lot that comes along, I think, with Mahomes. And then I do think, you know, it's especially veterans, you have these two trades that happen. You have Deshaun Watson on one end, where it's just absolute utter disaster, and we can, if you move the off field stuff to the side, none of us thought football wise this is what this guy would ever be. None of us thought he would be, like, basically unusable as a football player, which was ultimately what he became in Cleveland. So that's one end of the spectrum. And the other end of the spectrum is, you know, Matthew Stafford. Like, the Rams thought, okay, we're a quarterback away, and they were actually right. But there's a lot of, you know, some critics in the NFL, they're like, the statement of we're X player away from a Super Bowl, they're like, that is just that's such a dangerous thought in your mind to think you're one player away from the Super Bowl, even if it's a quarterback or whoever else, because that rarely works out. If you go after, you know, that kind of a player, it typically becomes a total failure. But there, you know, you kind of have precedent on both ends in terms of going and getting a veteran quarterback who's a star, who has the ability to be an all-pro level player. You know, Watson was an abject failure, and Stafford, I think, at least for what it produced for the Rams, and I would say even in the ensuing years, they've still been a good competitive team. I would say that, you know, Stafford is obviously that success story.
So, Charles, Jaire Alexander signing with Baltimore, reuniting with Lamar Jackson, and we'll see how often he's able to be on the field, which has not been very often over the past few years here. But what do you make of what that does for Baltimore? And I guess the follow-up question to that is, if not this year for Baltimore or Buffalo, when? as it relates to finally punching down the door and getting to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, they're. I mean, that was a huge addition, you know, for them. I mean, it's what's crazy to me is like when you look at, you look at their secondary now, and again, it's like you said, is Alexander going to be healthy? If he's healthy, so let's just play that game. If he's healthy, their secondary. I mean, Marlon Humphrey, Alexander, Malachi Starks, Kyle Hamilton, Nate Wiggins. I mean, their secondary is pretty loaded. You know, the like defensively, I think this is a really great signing for them. And then, you know, I think offensively, to me, that's my favorite. It's got to be Baltimore, I feel like, this year. I think the wide receiver room is probably a little underrated because, you know, I think they got Rashad Bateman. And again, that's another guy if he's healthy. But they got Rashad Bateman to the point where, especially from a touchdown scoring perspective, was a very big piece for them. And I think they finally feel like, you know, they signed him an extension this offseason. They feel like that clicked into place. Zay Flowers, again, healthy if he's in the lineup and healthy. And DeAndre Hopkins is, I mean, it's a good, solid, you know, wide receiving core, especially when you consider that, you know, the tight ends, they expect Isaiah Likely. And I think he has the talent for this. I think they feel like, okay, this is going to be his big leap year. Finally, he's going to, you know, get to the point where he could be a Pro Bowl level player. But it's when I went through there last year, and we talked about this on a recent show, you know, the question for the Ravens was like, how are we going to cut up the pie? There's so many guys. It hasn't changed. It's the same deal this year. We talked about in the Derrick Henry conversation before, but yeah, they're loaded to bear to me. I think this is, if they're like, this is it. This is as good as I think this lineup has been. It's as good as, in terms of like getting guys in their prime producing, you know, putting numbers out and being on the field, it's as good as the franchise has sort of been positioned with Lamar Jackson. And yeah, I mean, I mean, I don't know where they're in terms of like the sports books. I don't know if they're, you know, whether or not they're the odds on favorite, but they got to be pretty dang close because to me, I mean, this is they're as good as any team in the NFL at this point from a talent standpoint. And then I think obviously like coaching, I'm a big John Harbaugh, you know, fan in terms of him being able to pull things together.
Well, speaking of the Harbaughs, we also talked a little bit today, Charles, about the other Harbaugh, the slightly more
the one that's interesting on the spectrum.
Well, yeah, the one that's just you know, he's out there a little bit at times. The other Harbaugh, but a very good coach, and I still believe Justin Herbert is a guy who is good enough to lead a team to a championship. Like, what's the feeling on Harbaugh right now? I mean, clearly there were some immediate gains there, but also it's not easy in the AFC to get to the top shelf. Like, where do you think they are?
Yeah, I mean, well, in the AFC West, it's not getting any easier. I mean, other than the Raiders, you know, everybody you're dealing with in the AFC West now kind of feels like the arrows. I mean, the Chiefs are what they are, but now it feels like the Broncos are, you know, competent now. They have the compass pointed in the right direction. Like, hey, look, I'll say this. Like, I think Harbaugh this past season, maybe the only position where I felt like they didn't take a step forward in terms of where they wanted to go. I think they wanted to have more of an impact on the tight end position, but, you know, adding, you know, Najee Harris, you know, they drafted Omarion Hampton. I think they have the running back depth and youth sort of where they want it now. You know, is Herbert going to be healthy? I think that's a big question from start to finish. McConkey, I mean, I don't think a lot of people really truly believed he could be a number one. We'll see this year. I still think there's a little bit of question because of his size. It's like, let's see if this guy holds up. But just from a production standpoint, clearly he proved last year as a rookie that he's got the chops to be a number one as long as he can stay on the field and be healthy. You know, they bring, you know, Mike Williams back in. We'll see. You know, Quentin Johnston. I would say that there are questions in the wide receiver room just in terms of, you know, what's Johnston really ultimately going to be like, because he still has the hands problem and the confidence issues. And this is, to me, this is sort of the season of like, is he just going to be kind of a middle tier guy and like, you know, maybe a 2/3 or is he going to, you know, have the ground solidify under him? Trey Harris, they bring in, obviously they draft him out of Ole Miss. I like him a lot. Kind of weird offense that he comes out of, so let's see how that translates. But I think Harbaugh has the offense more geared toward, you know, the balance that he ultimately wants it to have. You know, I think defensively, I still think they're working toward, you know, finding their identity defensively. Obviously, you know, Joey Bosa goes out the door. I think they kind of wanted to do that last year because he's just never healthy and available. And I think even when he was on the field, he wasn't playing at a top level. So they're still transitioning. I don't know if they take a big stride forward this year. I think kind of what they were last year, it still feels like that's sort of where they've, you know, settled in. I still think there's a lot to do from the standpoint of building the roster. So look, they're good. I think they've taken on Harbaugh's identity, but it's not like it's a team where you don't go down the lineup and have plenty of questions. Like Mekhi Becton, like, it's an interesting addition there, but like Becton could be, he could be a really good, solid starter for you, or he could go back to like the Jets Mekhi Becton, where he's like overweight and not producing and not on the field. You know, that very easily could fall apart, and that would massively affect their offensive line.
Charles, last thing for you here. Philadelphia, as we know, reigning Super Bowl champions. If you had to pick it today on June the 19th, who is the second best team in the NFC? Is it Detroit, the Rams, Washington, or someone else?
I don't think it's Detroit. I think losing Frank Ragnow is, you have a brain drain. Obviously losing two coordinators, I think, is really going to hurt them. It is going to affect them. Even though, you know, you have in-house promotions who come in and both say, we're going to do the same thing we did last year. Like, of course, why change it? It's not, you know, it's not broken. I'm like, yeah, that's probably not, you know, if Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson were there, they would have changed some things. They would have, you know, you keep growing and trying to augment what you're doing to make sure that people aren't prepared for what you do. So I'm not a big fan of when you promote in-house coordinators and their response is like, for the most part, we're just going to keep things the same. I think that's, you know, a net negative for them. I think, you know, losing Ragnow is, I mean, he was just, it's, I know he's a center, but still, again, he was very much an anchor on that offensive line. You know, now you're trying to figure out if you got a rookie who can start at center for you. I think that affects their offensive line. I don't want to say like, hey, they had their shot. I still think Detroit's going to be, you know, a good team, but I just don't see how now the offensive line, you get two starters gone from last season. And then the coordinators, I'm troubled by that. I think defensively they could be a heck of a lot better. So maybe that's the thing that to me is, maybe I'm not measuring how much better they can be defensively. I just still think, I'm telling you, the Rams are really good. They're a really, really good team. And I think, you know, you bring in, you know, from a wide receiving standpoint, I think Devontae Adams is still absolutely, I think, like, if anybody can get something out of him at this stage of his career and kind of see a little flourish at the end, I think McVay can do that with Devontae Adams, especially playing next to Puka Nacua. You know, I think the backfield depth is good. The offensive line has really come together. And then defensively, they just stacked up so many great, you know, young pieces that are all ready to kind of step into the beginning of their prime. So yeah, I think the Rams, you know, really have a chance to be that team that maybe we're looking at the end of the year. I think people forget how close they were to beating the Eagles.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that easily could have been your Super Bowl winner last year. But you know, just I'll ask you guys, you think Stafford stays healthy? That's, people, like, look at Stafford's time since that Super Bowl. He's missed games, you know, and his performance has been good when he's been on the field, but it certainly is not the level it was that year that they won the Super Bowl. Like, he definitely, you're kind of like, okay, does he have a big season left in him? Like, I wonder that too for Matt Stafford, and can he stay healthy?
Yeah, it's a great question, and there's, you know, 37 years old. I know we see quarterbacks playing deeper and deeper. Not everybody's Tom Brady, though, so we'll see how that goes. Charles, great stuff as always. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us today, and we will talk to you soon, my friend.
All right, sounds good, guys. Have a good day.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. our guest. Lots to react to there from Charles. We will do that next. Take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. I got some tickets to give away to the Preds Beer Festival at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Saturday, June the 28th. Be caller number 5, 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a pair of tickets to the Preds Beer Festival at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, June the 28th. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Appreciate Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports for being with us in the last segment. I think the Rams have a chance to be very, very good in the NFC this year, so I would agree with him on that front. He says it's Baltimore's year. He feels like this is Baltimore, and this is kind of what they've been building towards here. It is kind of amazing. If you think about the idea of Jaire Alexander staying healthy, their secondary is pretty ridiculous. I think Starks, like as soon as they drafted Starks, I was like, of course they did. I mean, he just screams Baltimore Raven to
yep.
me. Their secondary has a chance to be really darn good.
Yeah, and I agree. You know, the receivers and Likely is a very exciting young player who I could absolutely see having that big leap this year. So I'm on board. I'm on board with the whole thing. I mean, the main thing with Baltimore that we need to have happen is Derrick Henry get 2,000 yards so Adam Sandler can make him a star. Like, is that like you'll get a cameo or like I'm building a script around you if you get 2,000 yards? I have not seen the – I want specifics on this.
It's a great question. I mean, I feel like he could be pretty good in a movie. All it says, I believe, is just a movie role and a dinner that he will get. So what does that mean? Like, is he, I don't know, in Happy Gilmore 3 as he rounds, like, the 17th hole? Is Derrick Henry just going to be standing there waiting to fight? I don't know.
When is part 2 coming out? This is the summer?
This summer, yeah.
I'm pretty excited for that.
I am too.
Yeah, I mean, and also if –
I'm going to keep my expectations low on that.
Yeah.
And hope to be
yeah
surprised.
I agree. I mean, Sandler – frankly, has more stinkers than winners. But the winners are good. They're very, very good. By the way, the week of, I keep telling you people.
I haven't seen it yet.
You got to see the week of.
Got to see Office Space, too.
God, I mean, I can't even, like, get my brain around
it. Hey, Office Space is only an hour and a half long. Okay, I can probably do that.
Yes. Do that. Yeah, like, Michelle started watching it and, like, oh, so what?
Yeah, Michelle didn't make it, I think, like 8 minutes.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's absolutely embarrassing. If Derrick Henry gets like 1,750 yards, is Adam Sandler going to say, sorry, Derrick, it's just not good enough. You're not – I mean, it's got to happen.
It says 2,000. Right? 2,000 is the bar.
Yeah, I mean, he should have given him like a 1,500 as a bar. But I don't think he's going to get 2,000 yards this year. But I think Derrick Henry – You've got to show me Derrick Henry breaking down at this point for me to believe it, right?
Yeah.
And I think you talk about rejuvenated, being on a team. I mean, you could argue that this team on paper, and he's been on the number one seed in the NFL before here in Nashville. He's been on a team that was up 10 points in the first half of an AFC championship game at Kansas City. But you could argue this is the best team on paper that he's going to be on after having one of his best seasons in an offense that's so – liberating for him, especially compared to what he was having to deal with the last couple years here. So it's I expect nothing but greatness again from Derrick Henry this year.
It was interesting to hear Charles talk about, you know, the sale of the Lakers and the $10 billion price tag that is reportedly worth in the neighborhood. I understand it's the Lakers. So you're talking about, you know, an iconic franchise in our country, but it does make you think about like the NFL and what some of these franchises in the future will go for. He talked about apparently the valuation of the Cowboys at some point last year was like $10.1 billion. Not every NFL franchise is the Cowboys, so I understand that, but the franchise valuations here are just skyrocketing. And when I saw that number with the Lakers yesterday, I was like, good Lord, majority of the Lakers, you can get $10 billion. Crazy.
Yeah, it is. And again, when you see, and that's the Lakers, and it is different. It's a little bit of a different deal. But when you see these things in the NFL, and when it comes down to it, you see the tremendous benefits of owning an NFL team, any NFL team.
Yeah.
The valuation, how much money you are going to get out of having an NFL franchise, it makes me really more and more bothered about this begging for public money for your stadiums and the ticket prices and everything going to streaming. I actually have this as a topic for tomorrow, but I'm already like, you know, like these are things that we need to all keep in mind in the discussion when we talk about greed and these NFL owners. Like, you are going to do extremely well. Mike Brown, I know you're not quite a billionaire. You're like a 950 millionaire or whatever.
Tough times.
But you really are a billionaire, you know, if you were to sell your franchise. So, you know, pay Trey Hendrickson. Like, hire some scouts and don't make your coaches be scouts in the offseason. Things like that, you know. Cheap owners in the NFL, I mean, really in any pro sports, there's really no excuse for it. Like, you're still making money hand over fist. But in the NFL in particular, you know, this push that we got to have this 18th game and so on and so forth. It really is nauseating when you start thinking about it.
Yeah, I just did a Google search. This is from 2024. Forbes putting it out there that their estimated team value of the Cincinnati Bengals is $4.1 billion. This is from August of 2024.
See, you are a billionaire, Mike Brown. Pay Trey.
$4.1 billion. Wonder what the Titans is. Maybe I'll try to find that out. If the Bengals are $4.1 billion, Titans got to be somewhere around there, right? You would think?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think that probably, you know, when you talk about the lower end of the NFL, the Titans and Jags.
I've got it.
Texans are probably right in that range, right?
This was also calculated in August of 2024 by Forbes. $4.9 billion is the Tennessee Titans, which okay. I guess ranks – they've got number 23, so I would assume number 23 in the NFL. $4.9 billion.
And CNBC put it at 6.01.
There you go.
So somewhere in between that range, I suppose.
So, Amy, you're doing okay. You're doing all right. I mean, look, the stadium happened. Most public money ever for a stadium. Again, you can delve in on that, and there is a lot that's being taken out of tourism, which is good. But still, you got a pretty sweet freaking deal. So there should never, ever be an excuse about investing in something to help this franchise win, to help people in Nashville have a better time.
The Detroit Lions, a lowly $4.15 billion, number 31 in the NFL.
Is that right?
That's what it says.
That's amazing, like, just when I think about the – poor millions of people who like are about to be terribly disappointed this year who follow that team with a passion, because Charles was not strong enough. I mean, their window is closed. They blew it.
Jeez.
Oh, like, come on.
I mean, you don't think they're going to be good this year?
Yeah, they're going to go like 10-7. They'll be good. They'll probably make the playoffs.
A mighty team that will not yield.
You don't lose those two coordinators. And you just, you know, like Jared Goff has had an incredible run here. He's not gonna be an MVP level QB.
Cowboys $10.1 billion. Do you know the number two valued franchise in the NFL? If you had to take a guess,
I mean, I would immediately go to Steelers.
It is the LA Rams, $7.6 billion.
Interesting. Where are the Steelers on that list?
Well, they're not in the top five. I'm still scrolling through. This is one of those like sliding scale ones that you have to keep scrolling through. They're not in the top 15. I'm still scrolling through. Number 17 on the list, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay.
$5.3 billion.
It's interesting. So, I mean, there's so many factors in here, but I assume we're also – market has to be a
– you would think so,
a big
yes.
part of this.
Yeah,
I
land,
mean, right?
Market.
Both the New York teams are in the top.
Yeah, all where you are and all that value of your stadium, I think, probably, right?
Not competence within organization.
Yeah.
Otherwise, yeah, it'd be the list would look a little different.
The Patriots are number three. I mean, Vrabel, spare no expense out there. You got all the money in the world to deal with.
That's right. So next time you go to a Celtics game, you can go ahead and clap, Mike Vrabel.
615-737-1025.
Probably not.
Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Got a couple rapid-fire items to get into coming up next. We will do that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Taking your thought on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. Joe, I'm giving myself some homework today, tonight. We'll see if I get to it or not because the NBA Finals is on, so this could be more difficult than I anticipated. I'm going to try to do Office Space tonight at some point today. I'm going to try to get Office Space done.
I think that's a great idea.
Okay.
I'll come back with a report tomorrow.
Okay. That sounds great.
Apparently, you can find it on Amazon Prime and rent it for like $3.79.
It's well worth it. You truly will not be disappointed. Like, there's probably five or six lines in that movie.
Oh, they're just classic.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah. you will not be disappointed. I mean, again, it's not an Academy Award winner, but yeah, there's enough good stuff. You'll be glad you saw it.
Yeah, you referenced.
I'm still mad at Michelle now that we brought it up that she like stopped watching it after five.
Yeah,
minutes.
She said it sucked.
There's references all the time here. We use it all the time. Someone's going Office Space on the printer or copier. You know, that kind of stuff. Stapler. You have my stapler. You know, there's plenty of. They just stand the test of time.
Absolutely. No, it's. If the you bobs, are listening, right? Hell yes.
I'm going to check it out today.
What would you say you do here? Yeah, I mean.
Bob.
If you're listening and you don't know what we're talking about, you should join Robbie in.
Group project.
In watching that. You know, I'm probably going to have to take this to tomorrow because I just keep going back and forth with people. But I want to again read. I want to again read this tweet. Because, you know, Jared on the YouTube chat said Easton was 100% right, okay? So, again, he said these WNBA players might be the biggest morons because they pushed her. She's your walking, talking meal ticket. She's the Messiah of your sport. You have to be an astonishing idiot. He said at least the hockey players who played in the Gretzky era knew where their bread was buttered. So that's what Jared said was 100% correct. I'm like, really? So that's what happened in the NHL when Gretzky played, and then he said, "Well, I didn't say that was right." I said, "Well, how is it 100% correct if that's not correct?" So please help me out, Robbie. When Wayne Gretzky played hockey, did people get out of his way and let him go do whatever he want, not try to check him?
They did not. Now, I do recall, and I can't remember who said it. There is a quote from somebody who played in that era, and I'll have to go find it. That has for some reason come up in this discussion over the last couple of weeks. About how they basically were like, yeah, we knew that guy was making our whole league money, so maybe if there was an opportunity to hit him in an area where he was vulnerable, maybe you didn't take that opportunity or something like that. Like, okay. I have to go find it and see exactly who that was. But I have seen that come up over the last couple of weeks.
Okay. Well, I promise you that I can find some checks of Wayne Gretzky. I mean, I saw some in live action in my life.
Oh, yeah.
That would go miles beyond anything Caitlin Clark has ever encountered in the freaking WNBA. So, I mean, seriously. You guys want to keep debating this? We can keep debating this. I got, you know, I'm being told, you know, this is all about politics on the, you know, on the text line. So, you know, we can just continue this all summer if you want.
The Predators have made a move. They bring in Eric Halla yesterday in exchange for Jeremy Hansel and a fourth-round pick. Joe, we talked about that to begin the show. If you missed it, you can go check it out, Robbie and Rex Road, wherever you get your podcast. But your very quick synopsis on the Eric Halla move by the Nashville Predators.
Make way for the parade, people. Where exactly is the parade route next year? Where and when? I need to know the date.
Will it start on Broadway or will it finish on Broadway?
That's always the question, right?
Yeah.
You can debate either way. You could do both.
You could.
You could wind your way back. And loop on back if you could. Yeah, I don't think it's like a reason to be upset, but it's a little bit of a head scratcher.
I would agree.
34 years old. He brings some sandpaper. He brings some annoyance to the opponent, so I like that. But I don't really think there's much of an ad here. The cost is whatever, but I don't. I obviously – and you said this earlier in the show, there's a whole picture that at some point we'll have, and it'll potentially make this make more sense.
We'll see.
But, I mean, I still, like, him in the lineup is, eh.
Yeah, it doesn't move the needle a whole lot on that discussion. Joe, some observations you want to get to from Tennessee basketball about a new era with Rick Barnes and company. We talked about a huge recruit that they have landed that will be playing for Tennessee next season and apparently already turning heads at practice here.
Yeah, Nate Ament. Well, I am saying that right, right?
I believe you're correct.
Apparently, Mike Wilson, Ryan Shumpert, two of our friends of the show and friends in general who were there at the open session, and I've seen some video too, and he looks like the real deal. I mean, when you really think about everything they have, and obviously point guard is such a big deal, freshmen coming in and they're going to have to – they have Jacoby Gillespie, obviously. It's going to be different, and he can shoot the cover off the ball. But you think about Jalen Carey coming in. You think about J.P. Estrella getting healthy. You still have Okpara. You still have Cade Phillips. If Ament is – and again, he is the most celebrated recruit in program history – if he's going to actually be a bucket, like it looks like he might be, I tell you what, man, the Rick Barnes, it's like after every year, I'm like, well, that was the team that he had a chance to do something with. Well, that was the team that he had. This might be a pretty special team. I'm just saying. I know that it's June 19th and, you know, college basketball is not top of mind for people, but that session this week and some of the accounts made me think he might have a special team next year.
Doesn't look like Zakai Ziegler is going to be a part of it.
No, he did appeal.
He did.
But I'm not liking his chances.
That's going to do it for us today here on the program. Hope everybody has a wonderful rest of their Thursday. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Jason Big Joe up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.